These are things that God wants us to lay hold of, all right? So our text for today is James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Can you turn there? And if you're able to physically stand, would you do so? I'd like to read the Word of God in your hearing. And then we're going to ask God's blessing on our time together and ask Him to help us understand this. James chapter 5, two verses there, verses 10 and 11. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Amen. Our Father, would you meet us now in the Scriptures and help us to see and understand what you are saying to your people. Lord, we want to not only glean the truth of these verses, we want to make application in our lives right now. And we want to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name, would you help us now? Amen. Amen. All right. So let's dive in. We are visiting affliction for the sixth time today and learning from affliction. And in this particular case, we are considering Job. And the things that Job learned from his own affliction. Because some may not be completely familiar with the life of Job. Job, it was a wealthy man in the Old Testament, right? He was a healthy man. He was a man that had a large family, and he had many friends, okay? In our vernacular, the man was doing very well. He was doing very well respected and liked in the community. All was well in Job's life, okay? But he lost all of that in just a few days. It was such tragedy. This one, waves and waves of disaster and bad news came to this man. He lost it all in just a few days. And his suffering and his affliction lasted much longer than he expected it to, right? We're not told how long he suffered, but it was over a long period of time. And then we find out that he didn't receive consolation, which he should have, for the level, the intensity of the suffering and the extent of the suffering. He should have received consolation from those around him, but he got no consolation from his family that had been such beneficiaries from him when he was doing well. He got no consolation from his friends who adored him and respected him when he was well. And a part of his great challenge is that he was wanting some answers from God, and God wasn't answering him. So this man was suffering. And he was tired. Okay? But the Bible holds Job before us as a model of being faithful as you persevere through suffering. And that's what we want to look at for just a few minutes right now. Because you don't have to think very hard to see that God has visited our church with affliction. Amen. And He wants us to learn from it, to learn through it, and not just grit your teeth and say, I'm going to find joy on the other side of this thing. God wants us to have joy now, because He'll be the same on the other side of your trial and test as He is what? Right now. You know? Amen. We saw that with the psalmist in Psalm 119. He said, God is good. God was good in the middle of his affliction. You are good and you what? You do good. God is good and He's doing good when I'm hurting. Yes, He is. Yes, he is. And so let's take a look at this together for just a few minutes. And I kind of divided up our thinking because of that. You see at the end of verse 11 there, I divided up our thinking with that statement, that phrase at the very end of verse 11. It says, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. All right? And so those are the two ideas that I want us to think about when we look at what Job learned because of his affliction and what I believe we are to learn. The Lord is compassionate and the Lord is merciful. The Lord is compassionate and the Lord is merciful. And even before I get into that, you can say what? You can say amen to that because that's true. You know that's true. And I want to, I want then to see this with you see back in verse 10, he says, as an example of suffering and patience. You see that in verse 10? So what I want to do is I want to look at the way Job suffered and the patience that he had while he suffered and to see how then he could see that the Lord was compassionate. All right, that's what we're going to do. So let's look at Job's suffering for a minute. The Bible clearly portrays Job before us as an example of suffering when you are perplexed. And so when you are suffering, he portrays Job so that we will not be perplexed and we will not be surprised by it, okay? Peter says it this way. Can you find 1 Peter 4 and verse 12? Look at this. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when they come up on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Okay? The Bible does not want any of us to think something strange and weird and awful is happening because I'm having to go through a difficult trial. Yes? Don't buy into the theology that would have you think that you've done something awful because you're having to experience some difficulty in life. That's not biblical. Now, you should examine your life for sin, but God is going to test every one of us. Yes? Yeah, yes. Where did Job's test come from? Came from God. So we get to know the background. Satan, God allowed Satan some access, and Satan was talking to God about how he moves to and fro on the earth and how he was really wreaking havoc in people's lives. He said, what? Have you considered what? My servant Job. So God was the one in control of Job's test. And he's in control of yours and mine. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. That's why we know things work together. What? For good. Those that love him are called according to his purpose. All right? So Job is this example for you and I not to be perplexed and surprised when trials come upon us. The fact is, that even if you are faithful and obedient to God, you're still going to suffer. Faithfulness to God does not make you immune. Look at Christ. Christ lived the perfect life, and the Bible says he learned obedience how? Through the things that he suffered. Yes? So don't think that being faithful and obedient to God is going to make you immune from suffering. Believers may suffer in many different ways. We learn this from Job. All of us are going to suffer financially at times because God does not want us to put our trust in money. Amen. And every one of us knows that temptation. Your savings account begins to build. You know how that works. Feeling kind of good about yourself. 401k is getting kind of big.
kind of start thinking like that old fool in the gospel said, I think I'm going to lay back, I'm going to relax. And then God sends a shockwave through the stock market and Wall Street reels and rocks. You got to replace the roof on your house. Of all the things, your car breaks down. You know how those things work. Medical bills pile up. We're all going to experience financial loss because God does not want us to put our trust in money. The love of money is what? The root of all kinds, all sorts of evil. Don't we know that? And God wants us free from that. So believers will experience financial loss. We're going to experience the loss of beloved family members. Regardless of how much you love them, you are going to lose them. It is given to man to die once. Is there any exception? Regardless of how much you love them. And in some cases, the death will come what you consider to be at an untimely. Come untimely for you. But that's a loss that God wants us to be prepared for. We learn that from Job. Believers are going to experience the loss of health. This, you'll oftentimes hear me say that this furniture is wearing out. From the time we were born, we were moving toward the grave. That's a fact. God said what? From dust you came and what? To dust you shall return. That's just a fact. And so we are all going to experience health problems. Right? And we shouldn't be perplexed and surprised about that because you've been so faithful. You've been so faithful with your Bible study and with this thing and that thing. That's not the issue. God wants us to learn not to worship your body. And isn't this world trying to do that too, folks? As if we're going to stay here. I'm so thankful that this old house here is not going to heaven, aren't you? Why would you want to go to heaven with this? What? Would you want to go to heaven with glasses and headaches and arthritis and, right? No! We want that nobody that God's going to give us. And so God wants us to stop worshiping this one. Amen. So you're going to have health problems just to show you how what, frail it is. Amen. You can do all of the medical and preventive you want. And I'm not minimizing that. You don't know that. I believe we should. But the fact is that this temple is going to experience sickness. Yep. Yeah? We shouldn't be perplexed by it. We're going to find that some of the most loyal family members are going to just going to be awful at how they turn on you at times. And same with friends. We see it at some of the most unlikely times. When you're at your lowest point, the ones that you thought you could count on. Right? Just a fact. It's the way it is. And God says, don't you be perplexed by that. I'm preparing you for that what? In advance. I gave you the example of Job so that you would know this happens to believers. It happens to people that love me. It happens to people that trust me. Yeah?
Amen.
Yeah, it does. We good so far? So when we look at Job's suffering, we can see that those truths are there. But then verse 10 says that as an example of suffering and patience. So let's look at Job's patience for just a minute. Suffering for the believer is intended to increase faith and patience. Can you find that Hebrews 6 and verse 12?
I'll read 11 and 12. And we desire each one of you to show some earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end. Look at verse 12. So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who by faith and patience inherit the promise. That's the whole idea, is that suffering for the believer is intended to increase this, both the faith and the patience for us. What's the point, Brother Willie? Faith, God gives us faith to give us hope for the what? Future. Yeah? Patience helps us to endure right now. Faith helps us look ahead. Patience helps me to stay right here and keep on walking through it. Faith and patience, God wants us to grow. Grow. Willie, stay in that, because I'm giving you strength in your faith, and I'm teaching you patience and perseverance. How long, Lord? Until the end. Until the end. Yes? And so, God has a marvelous plan. But you know, it's really interesting. When the storms of life get so, so intense, and it just looks like nothing seems to be addressing your issue, we find ourselves like the disciples on the boat with the Lord in the storm. You remember that? The Lord was there on the ship with them, and he'd fallen asleep because his body had grown weary and needed rest. They were out there fighting in the storm, and so they rushed down there and wake him up, and what was their question? Lord, what? Don't you care? We're up here perishing, and you're down here sleeping. You see? That happens when your storm gets intense and it looks like the Lord isn't doing anything. But where was the Lord? Now, if they were going to die, who's going to die with them? Right? Y'all know that wonderful song by Vanessa Bell Armstrong? No storm can sink this ship with the Lord on it. Right? The master of what? The storms and the waves is right here with you. How can the ship go down? But you see, when you're in the storm, you start what? Thinking wrong, talking wrong, doing wrong. Right? You have to be very careful. The master is with you. He's with you. Yes? He's with you. And so, this patience then works its way out to where you can see that Job had no remedy for his problems. He couldn't solve his financial problems. Couldn't solve the problem with... Now, he had 10 children, right? Y'all remember that? All 10 of his children died at the same time. The same time. All of his wealth taken away immediately, right? And so all of this lost, and then he lost his health, and the friends came. Friends became his judges, and then of course his wife wanted him to commit suicide because she said he was in such bad shape. And so there he is. And so he had no remedy for his suffering. He looked all around him. He was crying out to God, and there just seems to be no remedy, no relief, until God eventually brought that brother some relief. Then he knew that God is compassionate. Now, I know it took me a while to get there, but I wanted you to feel the weight of the issue. It takes God bringing situations to the point to where you realize there is no more help that I have here other than the Lord. And I got nothing else to plead with God about. I can't talk about how good a Christian I've been and how all of those things, it's not getting me anything in my situation. And then I finally see God come to my help, and I realize that the Lord is compassionate. You know what that means? He cares. You have to know for yourself that God cares for you. You see, you can listen to all kinds of testimonies from other people, but you need to know it for what? Yourself. That's what this verse says, right? Job had to learn that the Lord is compassionate. To who? To Job. And you and I have to learn the same thing, all right? Can you flip over to Job 42? Just look at the outcome of this situation. Those of y'all who read Job, you know what I'm going to say here. It's just wonderful when you think about the way this brother has suffered. And then you get to the end of the book of Job, Job 42 and verse 10. After all of this suffering, the abandonment of his friends, he's lost everything. He's just there. God has finally, begun to answer him. And you see verse 10? And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job what? Is that in your Bible? Gave him twice as much as he had before. Why did God do that? Because he cares. Was he obligated? Absolutely not. But he did it because he's compassionate and he cares. And he wanted Job to know, I care for you. I've never stopped caring for you. I cared for you when you lost your children. I cared for you when you lost your finances. I cared for you when you lost your health. I cared for you when your friends didn't care about you. I cared for you. Amen. And so he learned that God is compassionate. To who, Willie? To me. You've got to learn it for yourself. He cares for me. Nobody could have helped me out of this situation. Nobody did. Right? Look at it again. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job. Bank of America didn't do it. Right? Whoever. I ain't going to say Citigroup, Bernice. No. You see, he didn't do this on his own. God wanted him to know. What did he say at the beginning? The Lord what? Gives and what? The Lord takes away. He knew the Lord gave it to him the first time. The Lord took it away. And he didn't know what God was going to do. But God gave it back to him more than he had. Because he said, ultimately it doesn't matter. I came here with nothing. And what? I'm going to leave the same way. Isn't this good news? Amen. Yes, God wants us to get there. He wants us to get there, to see that he cares. And you all remember when you read through the Gospels, it's amazing as you're reading through the Gospel, and you see Jesus there. You remember those thousands of people start following him around, you know, because he's working miracles. And then they found out that you get a free fish sandwich, and, you know, so they show up to get the sandwich and that free meal. But he saw them, and he knew they weren't there for the right reason. But he knew they'd followed him. You remember that? Thousands of people had followed him away from town and resources. And he says he looked out over the crowd, and he felt what? Compassion. And what did he do after he felt compassion? He fed them. Why? Because he cares. Because he cares. Then you see him moving around at other times, and he say he sees sick people. They bring all their sick people to him. Had all these physical needs. And he said he felt compassion. And what did he do? He healed them. Why? Because he cares. He cares. He cares. One man had been sick all of his life. Blind, lame. All of their life, nobody cared for them. But Jesus shows up. Thank you, Lord. Just a touch from the Master. And they realize what? He cares. That's all we need. All you need him to do is to touch you in your situation. And you'll know what? He cares. The Lord is compassionate. You getting this? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So compassion answers the question of, does God care when we suffer? What's the answer? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Then the last thing that I want to talk to you about is the fact that the Lord is merciful. The Lord is compassionate, and the Lord is merciful. Now, you remember how we're doing it? We're seeing this in the way that he suffered and was patient, right? So let's look at suffering briefly when we think about the Lord being merciful. Believers may suffer many ways, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We have suffering in several dimensions, okay? And we may suffer very severely, very intensely, and over a long period of time. And so don't think that, you remember how Peter said, don't think something strange has happened to you because you've been suffering for years. You all remember in 2 Corinthians, Paul was concerned about what? This thorn in the flesh. It was causing him agony and pain, right? And he felt like he had suffered enough. So the Bible says he prayed to God. He prayed, and the Bible says three times, but the point is that he prayed repeatedly for God to remove it. Just like Job, he was asking for an answer, but he didn't get the answer that he was necessarily looking for, did he? He was wanting the thorn to be what? Removed. God said, no, I actually gave you that. Just like with Job, I gave you that thorn because you need it to keep you from being arrogant and proud. Did Job know that? I mean, did Paul know that? Of course not. Until God told him. And once God told him, what did he say? Well, Lord, I'll rejoice in this. I'll rejoice in my weaknesses and my ailments. Why? Because when I am weak, then I'm what? Strong. Okay? And so our suffering may last over an extended period of time. And in some cases, you're going to have it, what, for the rest of your life. You okay with that? You need to be. Now, I didn't say that's, I don't know your situation. The only one that knows that is the Lord. That's the reason you need to be talking to him. Stop talking to so many of us about your problems. And start talking more to God about them. That's where you get some for real answers. I got my ideas. I don't mind sharing my ideas with you. But God is the only one that has answers. Amen. Yes? Yeah. And so this is the real life for us. And because suffering can be so intense and so severe, and because it can last so long, it can begin to cause believers to doubt. Yeah, and have fears. Terwan, I believe one of J1 Terwan said, being angry. Yeah. And it happened with Job. It happens with other Christians. You begin to get angry because you're being falsely accused. You're getting all of these. You know, the devil is an accuser, and so you're getting pressure coming on. You're already suffering. You don't need more unjustified pressure. But then you get angry because people that ought to be helping you are causing more harm. Yes? And so when it goes on so long, you see, it begins just like, y'all, those of us who grew up in it, well, it happens in the city. I was going to say in the country. You know when you have a light bulb out at night, particularly in the summertime. You know what it does? It attracts all those bugs. And a lot of times when you're suffering, it's like you get to attract all of the gnats and bugs around you. It's like vultures. They start circling around you. And you got to be careful not to let that get you down. Right? Because human nature, everybody's got their opinions about what's going on with you. And there are those who have already counted you out. You down and you out and you won't. I'm sure with Job. Think of it. Even his friends didn't think he's going to bounce back from this. He's down too low. Yeah? And so it can, your suffering can be that severe at times. And so suffering brought misery to Job that only the mercy of God could relieve. Okay? Misery that only mercy can relieve. And so when we look at patience here, this is so wonderful. Think about this. Job is not remembered for how much money he had. Job is not remembered for how many sheep and donkeys and oxen and corn and all those things what were wealth back in that day, right? He wasn't remembered for that. He wasn't remembered for the number of children that he had or how his spouse and number of friends. Job is remembered for the way he was patient in suffering. Now you think about that for a minute. Kind of let that soak in for just a minute. God, I'm not being crass here. Allow me to say this. God brags on Job for the way he suffered. Even though God gave him back twice what he had. God is not, he doesn't boast about Job for how he managed his money. You don't even know how often Job read the Bible. I mean, if I have a knackle, you don't know how many times he went to church. You don't know any of that. You don't know how much tithe and offering he had. All of the kind of things, that, and you know, I'm not minimizing those things. But God looks at a whole, he sees us in a whole different way. How you handle affliction says a whole lot about you. Particularly when it's lasted way longer than you expected it to. Yes? Now, y'all agree with me now. So, when it visits your house, yeah, this is just real Christian living. Can't say I didn't know. So, this is one of those days you showed up, and you know now. Can't say, I wish I hadn't come. You know now, all right? It's, this is one of the ways God wants us to grow. Suffering then actually revealed the real Job. What do you mean by that, Brother Willie? Can you turn to 1 Peter? We just looked at 1 Peter a while ago, but look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. You got it? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Now look at verse 7. Why have you been grieved by various trials? So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Your faith and the quality of it is more precious than the highest peak of your 401k. However much wealth you accumulate in your whole life, your career, all your accolades, the quality of your faith is more precious than pure gold. Yeah? God is purging out things that keep us from being real. All of us have little props that have to be kicked out. We don't tell anybody that you're resting on them, but God knows it. And he kicks it out because he wants you to live by faith and what? Not by sight. By faith and not by sight. Faith in him alone. Even though Job was imperfect in his patience, what do you mean by that, Brother Will? He complained. Job had anxiety. He still persevered. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He didn't handle his trial perfectly, but you don't see God saying that. God uses him as a what? Model of how to hang in there when it doesn't make sense to you. Stay in there and persevere. Here's what I want you to see. God forgave and overlooked Job's weaknesses and failures in his trial. That's mercy. When you know you didn't handle your trial perfectly, and God blesses you anyway, that is what? Mercy. You know you didn't handle it the way you should have, but he blessed you what? Anyway. That is what? Mercy. And Job learned that. Job learned that. If Job could say it, he couldn't see why God would be bragging on him. The way I acted during my trial, Job would be as shocked as you would be if God would hold you up as a model after your life. Job didn't live like that to be a model. He just loved the Lord. He wasn't going to give up on him just because he lost his children and his money, just because his wife turned on him and his friends. He wasn't going to give up on God. No. My brother, my sister, God is teaching us to trust him. You know that simple verse in what, Proverbs 5, 3? Trust what? In the Lord, you know it. With all your heart, do not lean to your own what? Understanding. Yeah. And so, you remember Jeremiah there in Lamentations talked about the mercies of God that are fresh and new what? Every day, morning by morning. And so I just want to encourage you that Job truly did learn that the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So then, my brothers and my sisters, when you are faced with a severe suffering, do not become perplexed or surprised. The Bible has warned us for that. Faithful and obedient believers are going to suffer. Yes, we are. But you can persevere in faith with patience because the Lord truly, truly, truly does care for you. You got to be convinced of that. He has not forgotten you, and he has not become incompassionate. He is compassionate. He remembers and he cares because he is compassionate. And when you are suffering, and your suffering is more severe than you expected, and it lasts longer than you could ever imagine, and when you complain with anxiety and you know that you must plead with God for mercy, remember that the Lord is rich in mercy. Yeah, he is. His mercy is abundant and it's overflowing. The Lord is merciful to those that fear him, to those who repent. The Lord is merciful to orphans and to those who are afflicted. So call upon him. Call upon the Lord in your time of trouble, and he'll answer you because he is and will always be compassionate and merciful. He is and he'll always be compassionate and merciful. And if you're not a Christian, you'll never know this by just listening to sermons and reading your Bible. You've got to come to Jesus for yourself. The only way anybody in here knows that the Lord is compassionate is that they've experienced it for themselves. And if you're not a Christian, you've got to come to Jesus on your own. You've got to believe him inside you. It's got to be something more than just intellect and knowing verses and knowing your Sunday school lesson. You've got to know him. And so my prayer and my pleading with you today is that you would come to Jesus and learn for yourself that he is compassionate and he's merciful because he cares for you. Father, we want to thank you for every way that you've taught us about your compassion and your mercy. We want to thank you for every way you've been patient with us in our trials and troubles and afflictions and sufferings. We want to thank you for the mercy that we received in not having handled our circumstances perfectly and so well. We want to thank you for the promise that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the good shepherd to us and promising to be with us always, even to the end of this world and this age. We want to thank you that we can know today that we are never alone and we never have to face life and circumstances alone. We want to thank you that right here, right now, this morning, you are here with us and you know the situations in every life. We want to thank you that you know the wounds in the hearts of people here today, just like Job, that have been wounded by the way friends and family have treated us. We want to thank you that you know and you understand those who have suffered tremendous financial loss among us today and tremendous loss in our bodies and with our health and tremendous losses, Lord, and yet you still care. And so thank you for making yourself available to us at such a time as this. Now, Holy Spirit, would you move around this room and apply that balm from heaven to heal so many wounds that have suffered so severely with the afflictions and the attacks in life. Holy Spirit, meet with your people. Lead us to the only one that can help us today. And we say today, Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Help us to enjoy your love as we live life and have good days in Jesus' name. Amen.